This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello everyone, this is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer, and I'm over near Homedale, Idaho in a light sport from Kit Fox. I'm with Paul Liedebrand, who operates a flight school called Glass Cockpit Aviation. Is that correct, Paul?
That is correct.
And that is in Boise, Idaho. And in my blog on AvWeb, I've been yammering a little bit about training in tail draggers for primary training. And Paul's actually doing that in the Kit Fox LSA. Paul, tell us a little bit about how that program's working out.
It's working out wonderfully. We put the Kit Fox SLSA on our program in April. And to date, we've been averaging about 50 hours a month of doing flight training of not only light sport or sport pilots, but also of private pilots, tail dragger transition, and we get quite a bit of business from Kit Fox builders that are coming to learn how to fly the airplane before they test fly theirs, or learning about the Kit Fox aircraft before they decide to buy one.
Now, you mentioned that you're busy enough to almost require another airplane and more instructors.
We are. We have two to three of us right now doing the flight instruction in this airplane, and doing 50 hours a month on an average. And with the student schedules, and we pretty much requires more than one instructor to handle that load.
Now, who are the students typically? Are you getting a lot of zero-time students coming in to earn an LSA rating or a private pilot rating?
Most of the students, again, are Kit Fox builders who have either completed their aircraft without a pilot's license, or they are wanting to build an airplane and maybe have a pilot license. They may not, but I would say that most of our students are Kit Fox oriented students. We do get the occasional private pilot who needs to get a tailwheel transition, or the occasional private pilot that wants some mountain flying proficiency training. But I would say that the majority of our clients are people who aspire to build a Kit Fox, or have built one already and want to get a handle on the aircraft, flying the aircraft before they test fly theirs.
Now, the conventional wisdom is that you can't have a flight school that has tail draggers online, but obviously you do, and you're able to train in those, you're able to solo students, and you're able to rent them.
That's correct. In Idaho especially, there's in the lower 48, there's more backcountry-oriented airports here than any other state in the lower 48, and tail draggers are an accepted tool for the backcountry airstrips. So we have an awful lot of clients that come to this state to learn how to fly a tail dragger and fly in the backcountry with it. It's an appropriate tool for the backcountry in a tail wheel configuration. We have no problem getting insurance for a tail wheel aircraft in our flight school, and we have no students that have started in tail wheel training and said, no, this isn't for me, I want to go to a nose wheel. We've never had any students change their mind. Once they've started to learn how to fly a tail dragger, they're more than happy.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You're taking some zero-time students, putting them in the tail dragger. This is I guess we could call it a typical tail dragger. It's not especially difficult to handle. How do they transition into it, and is it more difficult to get them to solo?
It might take a little longer for, if you were comparing two equally qualified students, equally ground-trained students, it might take a student who is in the tailwheel a little bit longer to solo, but by the time they are done to take their check ride, I would say that the two students have equal hours. The learning curve is a little steep initially, but then they excel in the rest of their program post-solo.
And what kind of skills do they have comparatively? So if you look at a student who's post-solo and maybe 30 hours into the training or 40 hours into the training, has soloed in a tricycle gear airplane versus a tail dragger, What kind of skills do you notice?
I notice a higher level of proficiency, especially in crosswinds and varying length runways, varying width runways, non-standard traffic patterns. They are at a higher level of proficiency, and they are much more in tune to the aerodynamic forces on the airplane, and they fly coordinated sooner than the nose wheel pilot.
And let's talk briefly about the cost of earning an LSA rating in the kit box.
A sport pilot license is averages around 25 hours. The FAR requirement, of course, is 20 hours, but I would say that by the time they take their check ride, you're looking at about 25 hours, and we offer a package price for under $4,000 for that sport pilot license.
So it's really a very economical way to get the LSA rating.
Yeah, the average for a private pilot is higher than the FAA minimum of 40 hours these days.
Well, it's a beautiful evening here above Boise. In fact, we're coming up on the airport here in a few minutes. It's been a very enjoyable flight. Paul, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer. We've been speaking with Paul Liederbrand of Glass Cockpit Aviation. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.